this teaching. So, guys, this is a, I'm going to do a review, but today is, if you're writing notes, it's called En Route. Everybody say En Route. Everybody say En Route. And obviously from the worship this morning, we heard and we were encouraged by the worship leader, Elder Jerry. Clap your hands for him. Give honor where honor is due. You try getting up here leading us into worship. Amen. Many of us would fail, including yours truly, week after week. But he encouraged us this morning. And to me, it was really loud that whatever you're waiting on, healing, blessings, spouse, is en route. Everybody say en route. En route. Everybody say is en route. And so in keeping with this series for the summer, even understanding God is en route. Because we don't know everything it is to know about God. Amen? Amen. And there's still a lot more to learn. But everybody say is en route. Shout, is en route. My healing is en route. My blessing is en route. Graduation is en route. My new car. Listen, I had to get an alternator. My new car is en route. I don't want a car payment. And so I'm gonna fix my car up so much where I won't have a car payment. Amen. Amen. That I won't need a new car. Because it's gonna be new from the inside out, not from the outside looking in. New alternator, new brakes, new shocks. When I get done with my car. So, but perhaps my new car is en route. Amen. I don't want a new car. If you ever see me in a new car in the near future, I was kicking and screaming. So that means the motor went out and it was total. I don't want a new car. Amen. I know you don't normally hear people talk about that, but a new car signifies perhaps it's messing with my vacation money. It's messing with my Aruba money. I want to save up my car payment to go see the world. Amen. I want to go see Hawaii, and we should absolutely pray for Hawaii right now. Amen. A beautiful place that's under destruction for whatever reason. It is not a surprise to God that Hawaii, much of Hawaii, is under fire or on fire. Amen. But God is still a healer, and he is still in control, and he still can, God still puts out fires. The song said on the screen today, God is still performing miracles. Amen. And so do we believe for a miracle for Hawaii? Amen. Amen. All right. But guys, what topic is more, just a quick review, what topic is more important than properly interpreting the Bible? I asked this for the last few times I was here. What topic is more important? And I've been waiting on an answer for weeks and weeks and weeks. Nobody seemed to give me an answer. So my question is, what comes first, understanding or interpretation? What comes first, understanding or interpretation? Shout it out. Understanding comes first or interpretation? So I understand. Well, how did you come to that understanding? Do you just understand, or is there a journey to understanding? Or, I'm just asking questions. Or do you understand because the Holy Spirit allowed you to understand? And you didn't go through a process to understand. Did the Holy Ghost speed up the process and allowed you to skip some steps for you to understand? I'm just asking questions. I'm not going to give you the answer. I may not know the answer. But the question is, what comes first, understanding or interpretation? I am making a case for properly interpreting the Bible. I wish I had paper Bible this morning. I forgot it at the house, but it is in my phone. I'm making a case for properly interpreting the Bible, God's word. Because if there's a proper way, everybody say proper. There is obviously an improper way. Review. If there's a responsible way, there's obviously an irresponsible way. If there's a system to interpreting the Bible, then we can obviously be fluid. If there's a solid way, we can be flimsy. We don't want to be flimsy handling God's word. Review. If there's a right way, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, that there's a what? There's a wrong way. All right. 1 Peter 2 and 2. You can turn there with me. 1 Peter 2 and 2. Hey, guys, regularly reading and studying God's word is a sign that the relationship is healthy. If you seem to not want to study God's word, or if you find yourself in 365 days ignoring God's word or not running to God's word, not to just read it, but to study it, perhaps that's a sign that your relationship with God is not healthy. But when you guys study God's word and make it a habit, a holy habit, everybody say holy habit. We make a habit to eat, don't we? We make it a habit to eat, right? And so we look healthy. A holy habit is studying God's word. It's a sign that the relationship with food, with God is healthy. Because you make it a habit, a holy habit. It's not out of, you're not being religious studying God's word. Amen? You're studying God out of relationship. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, like newborn babies long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. We make it a habit to eat and we grow. Amen. When you eat God's word, you grow spiritually. Amen. Who wants to grow spiritually? Alpheus want to know. I don't want to be in the dark pertaining to God's word, the things of God. I'm perhaps one revelation away from being delivered. I'm perhaps one revelation away from having enough insight on a topic to help somebody else. Perhaps, guys, there's a knowing deficiency. Do you have a knowing deficiency? Everybody put your hands up like this. I exercised a little bit this week, so this can be a part of my regimen. This is like exercising, so y'all just entertain me tonight, today. Do you have a knowing deficiency? In other words, what's between your ears? Do you have enough to live? Do you have enough to not only be free, but to remain free? Do we know enough to navigate life on earth? When we don't know, we are, number one, thousands of miles away from freedom. Number two, prolonging bondage. Number three, our decisions are sketchy. Number four, our quality of life is affected. When we don't know, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is, read this with me, all right? I don't want to leave you guys out. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, ready, set, go. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the... I'm guilty. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm guilty to delaying a doctor's appointment. Y'all know the rest, right? So I don't want to hear what he has to say. I don't want to hear what he has to say because perhaps what he's going to say is something I don't want to hear. He's probably going to say, you should continue to do this, something that I don't want to do. Or he may say, you should stay away from this. He may say, everything is fine, but you shouldn't eat too many more of those apple pies that you get from House of Judah from the lady over there to the right of me. And so I would avoid seeing or hearing from the doctor so I can do what I want to do. So I delay my doctor's appointment. I go to the app and I say cancel. And I don't even hit reschedule because I don't want to hear it. The word of God is alive and active. I still take them. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. Anybody ever been poked or punched and you didn't want to be punched? It divides. It's dividing the soul and spirit. Anybody ever been dealt with? Anybody ever went to a counseling session and it was good? It was good for you, but it was also bad for you. It was like, I don't want to hear this, but I need to hear this. It was like, man, he or she read me like a book. Dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Have you ever worked out, it was good for you, but the next day or the day after, the day after, your joints felt horrible. Something good felt bad. It felt bad, but it was good for you. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nobody wants to be told you are wrong unless it benefits you. Amen. So the Bible will often say, Alpheus, you're out of pocket. And I'm like, shut up. You saying, Alpheus, who you telling to shut up? Nobody. The Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving the earth. So guys, don't say God is not speaking when your Bible is closed. You will never, ever be able to interpret a closed Bible. All right. Two more minutes on review. Consider avoiding, what does the scripture mean to me? You read the text and you say, what does the scripture mean to me? Everybody say to me. That is not the best way, because there are billions of to me in the world. Everybody say this with me. One meaning, many applications. Everybody say one meaning, many applications. So consider saying, what stands out in this text, in the Bible? What stands out to me? And that will help you get to that one meaning. So when you're responsible, when you're responsible with reading God's word, reading the Bible, and you're being responsible, it takes time. Consider going the speed limit. It's not on my slide, but go to speed limit. Look at somebody and say, go to speed limit. Everybody say, go to speed limit. When you are responsible speed limit, you are more likely to get to that true meaning or intent. Amen? It is important to really know truth, and know that you are accurate. Amen? It is really... Listen, not knowing the truth is more harmful to you than those fires in Hawaii. I would be more scared of false doctrine than fires. Because fires can harm your body, but false doctrine can harm your what? It can harm your soul. It could affect your eternal state. Because if I'm wrong, and if I'm eternally wrong, It's no coming back from that. Amen. It's no coming back. It's no coming back. And that's where we don't want to be. That's why this series is so important. And all of the teachers, we appreciate you guys embracing it, because it is different. Amen. It is a little different, but this will not make us arrogant, but this should humble us. That God would allow us to have tools to know the truth. Amen? Because the Bible says, ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. Some translation says, set you free. Matthew 22 says, but having, verse 29, Matthew 22, verse 29 says, but, read this with me, but having answered, Jesus said to them, ye are led astray, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You see, Jesus said himself, when you don't know, you are thousands of miles away from me. And you can be easily led away when you don't know. Jesus says, warning, not knowing the scriptures, You can be led astray. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Read this with me one more time. 2 Timothy 3:16 says what? All scripture. Say the first two words one more time. It says what? So guys, all 66 books is fair game. We should not ignore one book. Well, I like Genesis, Jonah, and Revelations. They may be your favorite books, but don't forget that there's, I said four books, 66 minus four? Help me out, math people. 66 minus four. There are 62 more books. You could tell I wasn't good at math. All right, I almost quit second grade because of math. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. All right, that was a 3-minute review, but y'all guys ready to grow? Y'all ready to grow? Y'all ready to grow? Drum roll. I have a tool that is fantastic, it's entertaining, it is a weapon. Everybody say it's a weapon. It is a weapon. And guys, I'm not sure if one of the teachers covered this. My apologies if they have, but if they have, then you will be definitely be equipped before you leave. I'm trying to set this up. I wish I had music. Everybody say it's coming. We're gonna talk about this tool, okay, she didn't put it up there yet. It's called typology. Everybody say typology. Everybody say typology. When I think of type, raise your hand if you've never heard on a Sunday morning or in a service, you've never heard a preacher, teacher, bishop talk about typology. Raise your hand if you've never heard typology or type. Okay, that's every hand in the room. Number one, don't go to sleep. Please don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. I'm talking to me, not y'all. y'all thought I was talking to you guys. Number one, you can add typology. You can add this to your hermeneutical process. Add it to your process of interpreting the Bible. Because you want to know the truth. How are you going to know the truth if you don't go through this process to try to figure out what the truth is? Amen? There's a process. There's a system to this. There's a system. We got it made in 2023. And I'll talk about why we have it made in 2023. Number two, typology. Some are easy to detect. Others you have to dig. Everybody say type. All right, number three, it feels like an analogy. An analogy, like or as, is not enough. When I explain typology, you're going to say, bro, that's just an analogy. Uncle Jerry sings like, well, I'm not going to, that would be funny, but that's an analogy. It's going to sound like it in God's word that what I'm talking about is an analogy. But it's not an analogy. I'm trying to emphasize that so you don't make the mistake to say it's just an analogy. It is not just an analogy. Everybody say typology. Typology deals with symbols that are foreshadowing something. It deals with pictures. Pictures. It deals with symbols that are foreshadowing something. It's picture language. It's you can see something. Ever read God's word and you see a picture, you can see the picture of it. It's like, or you ever read God's word and the picture of something is described and you're like, oh, that's kind of neat. But you know internally that, man, it's got to be more to what I just read. It's like I'm reading about a lampstand, but what does that mean? Or I'm reading about the temple and I know we're the temple. Analogy. We're the temple, you know, and so, but we're like the temple, body temple, but then there was a physical temple in the body, in the Bible. There was a physical temple, but we're likened to a temple. And so you're like, well, you're just trying to figure it out. Anybody ever try to figure out what am I reading? And then you go to sleep. Number five, again, is a shadow is the, number five, when we're talking about typology, everybody say typology. Shadow is the type and the real thing is the anti-type. It doesn't mean it's against the type. It just means it's leading to the real thing. And so you have something, you have a picture. Everybody say picture. You have a picture of something in God's word that is foreshadowing something in the future. Foreshadowing, shadow is not the real thing. All right, you have the sun, you have me, and I'm creating the shadow. The shadow is what you see. I am causing the what? The shadow. So you perhaps, what if you see the shadow? Have you ever saw the shadow before you saw the thing causing the shadow? You see the shadow first, and you kind of say, I know what, okay, that's Alpheus, because I see his what? I see his shadow, okay? So again, shadow is the type. Antitype is the real thing. Don't go to sleep. Number six, type can be a noun that points to the real thing. All right? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? A noun is a what? Person, place, or thing. So a type in typology, a type can be a noun that points to the real thing. Number seven, all right? The New Testament is the verifier for the type. So what am I talking about? We just read scripture a couple scriptures ago that we should consider all scriptures. So we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Everybody say Old Testament. Old Testament. So you will see things in the Old Testament that is a type. Everybody say type. But in the New Testament, it is like, y'all may not get this, but you get a blue check. Like, it's really something on social media if you get the blue check. Anybody know about the blue check? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you don't. Okay, you know about the blue check. Raise your hand if you don't know about the blue check. Okay, if you have a social media profile, and just in 2 seconds, you have a blue check, you somebody. You've been verified by social media. It's like you want the blue check because famous people have the blue check. I don't have a blue check. Do I got a blue check, Sweets? I haven't been verified. And you want to be verified for a lot of reasons on social media. We got to work on my blue check because it looks good when you're verified and you have a blue check. Barack Obama has a blue check. You have famous gospel singers that have a blue check. Politicians and every people are verified. They have a blue check. You may not like it. Donald Trump got a blue check. I know y'all don't like it, but he got a blue check. And I ain't got a blue check. The New Testament is like the blue check. It verifies what you see in the Old Testament. If what you see in the Old Testament doesn't have a blue check in the New Testament, it's not a type. It's not typology. It's not a type. It's something else. Don't go to sleep. Y'all all right? So you read it in the Old Testament and you see something and it actually shows itself in the Old Testament, and you see it again in the New Testament, or you see it in the New Testament, and we have the privilege, we are past the New Testament, 2023, so we can see what went on in the New Testament, but we can go back even further and see it in the Old Testament. It's making sense. So we're past the New Testament. Ooh, cardio today. We're past the New Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. We can look in the Old Testament and see pictures. That's called a type, typology. But again, if you don't see it in the New Testament, it's not a type. Make sense? So I am on number eight. It's a great tool, typology. It's a great tool for clarity. Everybody say clarity. You talking about want to be clear. Typology will help you be clear, and it will help you strengthen your faith. Because now the storyline is clear. The Bible is not just a story. It's historical facts. Say this with me like you got the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, the Bible
That ain't Holy Ghost. Come on, like, I need like apostolic, fire baptized, holiness, Church of God of Christ mixed together. Everybody say the Bible. Historical facts. So you have the storyline, historical. The storyline is very clear. And typology can help you be clear about the storyline in the Bible. Amen? Number 9, you don't have to force it. I like typology because I'm just curious. You know, I'm looking at things and I'm saying, I wonder what that means. I wonder what this remote control means. I wonder, is there something that God is telling me concerning this remote control? I see a S, salvation. No, that's not. That's not typology, amen? First of all, it has to be what? Verified. All right, according to what I'm talking about, it needs to be, if it's in the Old Testament, if there's a picture in the Old Testament, it needs to be verified in the New Testament. So typology is foreshadowing something in the New Testament or in the future, okay? It's almost like we used to play when I was a kid or see pictures, and he's still alive today or he's still relevant. It's called Where's Waldo? Can you find Waldo? I actually found him in 5 seconds. I pulled up this picture. I said, boom, there he is. Everybody say, where's Waldo? First of all, if you don't know what Waldo looked like, you will never, ever be able to what? You will never be able to spot him. If you don't know what he looks like, you won't know how to spot him. If you don't know what he has on, you will never, ever be able to find him in clutter. You would never, ever be able to look at a picture, which is a type, typology, picture language. When we see, again, in the Old Testament, we see pictures in the Old Testament. We see these stories. We see these biblical accounts. That's a better way to say it. We see these biblical accounts. We need to know. Let me say it like this. Instead of where's Waldo, everybody say, where's Christ? The question is, where's Christ in the Old Testament? So how do we find Christ in the Old Testament? Because it's not as Christ doesn't say, I'm here in the Old Testament. But we sing about it. Jesus is the same yesterday, Old Testament, today, and forevermore. So he's there, but where is Christ in the Old Testament? Typology is that dude. I hate to say it that way, but I'm only 41. Typology is fantastic. And so got to give you some examples. All right. These are examples. Not all are humans. And typology or type, all are not humans. Some are other nouns. So remember, you must have the blue check in the New Testament. It must be verified for it to be a typology. Why does this even matter? All right, I think you guys are going to really see this before we leave. Y'all okay? Y'all sleepy? All right, if you're bored and you know it, clap your hands. Praise them. So let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, I think I may have it. If you want to turn there, I don't think it's going to be on the screen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Because I may ask you guys to read it with me, even though it's not on the screen. Typology. Examples of typology. All are not nouns, and all will not necessarily foreshadow Jesus Christ. All right? I just want to let you know that. All right? So 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Who's the type? When I read that scripture, y'all shout it out. Who's the type?
I'll read it again. As in Adam all die, so, hint, in Christ shall all be made alive. Who's the type? The type is Adam. All right. And then Christ is the antitype. Okay. Again, Adam is the type. Christ is the antitype, not antichrist. It's just, it's not, it's different from the type. Y'all okay? Let's keep making this plain. Matthew 24, verse 37. We're reading God's word. We're trying to figure out, like, guys, knowing typology, and this would really help make things clear. It would really clear things up for you in not every area, but in many areas. Y'all okay? Matthew 24, 37 says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Come on, class. I'm going to read it one more time. As the days of Noah, I need y'all to try to extract the type. As the days of Noah, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. This scripture here, you want to know what this scripture means. Why? Why do you want to know what the scripture means? Because if God is soon to come, one hint that he's soon to come is what? It's going to look like the what? The days of Noah. What did the days of Noah look like? So I can know when he's coming, so I can be ready. Because if I don't know, maybe I won't be ready, and maybe I won't go back with him. That's a problem. So if I don't know this scripture, I'm in the dark. As the days of Noah. Okay, the type. What's the type? The type is the culture. The culture in the Old Testament is the type. What's the antitype? Or what is it foreshadowing? What is it telling us that's coming? Today's culture. As the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, if you knew what was going on when Noah was living, if you see resemblance of that now, bruh, get ready. But what was going on? What was going on with Noah? Do you know? If you don't know, you want to find out. First of all, they had evil thoughts, I'm summarizing, in their hearts continuously. Continuously. And there were some other crazy things like genetically modified situations. I'll sum it up like that. They had genetically modified situations trying to play God in the days of Noah. Does that sound familiar? In the days of Noah, they were trying to play God and genetically modified what God created. Humans, animals, and everything in between. Does that sound familiar? You know you can eat chicken that never came from a chicken that laid an egg that grew up to be a chicken, a grown-up chicken, right? That sounds weird to me. Do y'all know that? Watch what you eat. I may be a vegetarian before it's all said and done. I got to get it in for the before I do. As the whoo, meat is so good. I don't eat beef though. I don't eat pork. I do. I eat pork flavored stuff, flavored with pork. But I don't eat pork itself. I eat pork flavored food. Collard greens need to be pork flavored. Turkey neck is good, but that pork. But I don't eat the pork that flavored the turkey. I mean the collard greens. They were messing up stuff as the days of Noah were. We need to know, we need to study. Again, typology is like makes this possible. One more scripture. John 3:14. I don't know if I brought my phone or it's in the car. Sweets, just help me remember because I don't want to leave it here. Because I was going to see what time it is, all right? I think I got about 40 more minutes. Y'all okay? As John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Get this picture in your mind. In the Bible, in John 3:14, New Testament. But it's talking about something in the Old Testament. All right? So when you're reading this in the Old Testament, because there is a passage for this in the Old Testament. Everybody say Old Testament. And the passage in the Old Testament, there was a serpent that was lifted up by Moses, okay, in the wilderness. All right? But John 3:14 talks about this account in the Old Testament. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake, in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So what's the type? What's the type? Come on. The serpent and the winner is, and see you in a long time, and you come and you win. You win an applause. Everybody clap your hands. When we coming over soon and unload. So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is the antitype? So this picture in the Old Testament was talking about who? Talking about Jesus. Christ is the antitype. Again, antitype, broken record. Antitype is different from the type. Antitype is what we're talking about. Antitype verifies in the New Testament what we read in the Old Testament. Okay? Last one, Matthew 12:40. As Jonah, I know y'all gonna get this. And if I was a if I really felt it today, I could really preach this like it was Easter time, resurrection time. Because y'all gonna see this. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:40. All right, there's a bunch of stuff going on here. But what's one type? One type is what? One type. One type. As Jonah. Jonah is a type. Okay? Jonah is actually a type of Christ. Because in the New Testament, Christ was in the tomb for how many days? Okay? And so Jonah is a type and the whale is a type because the tomb is basically was foreshadowed by the whale in the Old Testament. Whale, tomb. Jonah in the whale, Jesus in the tomb. This is typology. Jonah in the whale, Jesus in the tomb. What I tell you, God is real. How in the world? Jonah had no idea he was a part of this foreshadowing of Jesus being in the tomb many, many, many years later. And y'all want to tell me the Bible is made up? Absolutely not. I like how Saint Augustine, I'm from Fafars, it's going to be both of them. He said the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Let me say it one more time. Those of us that have our CWP, you see this in a different way. We have an advantage. The New Testament is in the Old Testament like a CWP. It's there, but it's concealed. All right? The Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. In other words, somebody said it like this. The New Testament is enfolded in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is unfolded in the New Testament. I feel 50 more minutes coming on me. Y'all stand up so I can really end this, all right? Y'all stand up. Because I think I have a good way, I have a good place I can stop. Y'all okay? Y'all clap your hands if y'all enjoying this like I am. Ooh-wee, this is juicy. I have a few more things to share while you guys are resting on your feet if you feel like it. If you feel like it, okay? The New Testament is in the Old Testament contained. is contained in the Old Testament. The New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is explained by the New Testament. So if you don't feel conviction or encouragement, hopefully it feels like encouragement, to open that Bible a little bit more after today, I don't know what will. Because how clear, if some things I taught this morning were not clear, I feel like at least one thing was clear. But you see the work, we had to spend some time to work for it, didn't we? I mean, we had to work and we had to work. Amen. We had to wake up and work for it. And so I like the way Mark Twain says, he said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. So takeaway today, what did the man talk about today at church? Key points of interest. Christ is the star. All right. So when you're looking at God's word, you're probably going to say, okay. You may have two Bibles. You may have the Old Testament. You have the New Testament. And you're trying to figure it out. But just know, honestly, there are so many different types. There's only one that matters. Every type doesn't point to Christ. We should study Christ more than any other. The Bible is the number one way to know the mind and the heart of Christ. I know what people are saying. You can close your Bible and hear straight from God, and the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And I'm not saying that's not true. Especially if you're, you know, somewhere and you don't have a Bible. And they are covered. They are covered. The Bible talks about that and how the moral law is written on their heart. You know, if you're way out there, no man's land, and you don't have the scriptures, you know, we're not talking about us. Amen. But the scripture is the number one way to know the mind and the heart of Christ. Because it's called the word of what? It's called the word of God. And look around in this room. I want you guys to feel blessed. We know more than Moses. Look around this room. Look at blessed people. Not because you got on clothes, by what's in your head. We know more than Jonah. We know more than Paul. Why? Because we, listen, to us, Christ was. To them, they had to believe that he will come. Imagine in Isaiah, you're writing down, for unto us a child is born, and you don't see a child. A son is given, and the government will. They have faith. They had to have faith that it was going to happen. But guys, we are blessed in this room because to us, it already happened. Like, it already happened. And it can be historically proven. We can see the breadcrumbs of what happened. We have the privilege to go back in time, but they were not as privileged to have historical documents like us about the future. Guys, we are privileged. We are blessed. Let's not underutilize our privilege in the kingdom, in the faith. Don't consider not wasting our privilege to study God's word. I want you guys to leave confident today. Because according to typology and according to God's word, there's a trend. And if you look in the Bible, you will see that we always messed up. We always miss the mark. It's called harmatano. It's when you miss the mark. We don't get it right. Everybody say, I don't get it right. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, but there's a trend. God's people, Israel, they messed up, and then God did what? He rescued them. And then trend number two,
it seems like when we read in God's word, man did what? He messed up. We messed up again. And then what did God do? He rescued them again. Anybody in this room need rescuing? He is no stranger to rescuing us. Anybody in this room need rescuing? In your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, in your body, in your finances, in your heart, in your bones. Typology proves the ultimate rescue plan is en route. Remember, the name of today's teaching was what? En route. So typology proves that the ultimate rescue plan is en route, because what's in the Old Testament tells us that something in the Old Testament says, listen, something is going to happen in the New Testament, and it already happened. But everything that the Old Testament, that we see in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, has not happened yet. We're like living, we're part of the foreshadowing right now. In Luke 21, I'll end with this. Y'all read it with me if you can see it on the screen. It says, there will be signs in the sun and the what? Moon and stars on earth. We're on earth, right? It's talking about us. Nations will be in what? Anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Global warming. Everything else we're hearing and seeing on the news. People will faint from what? Terror. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I want y'all to leave confident because of what typology reveals. Again, when these things begin to take place, in verse number 28, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Amen? That means Jesus is soon to come. And we can hang our hats on it because we've studied, we feel it, we know it, but we actually see a trend here. Man messes up, God rescues us. Man messes up again, he rescues us in the Bible days. We're in a time where we're still doing what? And we still need to be what? Verse 28 says, because your redemption, which has a redemptor, is near. Your hero is almost here. I said your hero is almost here. He is en route. Everybody say he's en route. Your hero is en route. He's 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 en route to rescue. He's en route to rescue. Number 29, verse 29. He told them this parable, typology, this picture. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Everybody shout, en route. Verse 32, 33, 34, I'll summarize it. 35 says, be watchful. Don't ignore the signs. Don't just study for the signs. But guys, when you study God's word, you will be aligned. You will really, guys, your life will go to another level. Your life, your spirit, your relationship.
Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. I'll stop there. Amen. I'll stop there. Amen. I wouldn't be a teacher if I didn't do this, because it really matters. You can take a screenshot. You guys have homework. Amen. Because if I didn't give you homework, you probably wouldn't do it. It's called homework. It's not Judah work. It's called whatever your address is. Because the house of Judah, this congregation is blessed.
Amen.
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 I thought y'all was going to say amen more was going to say amen. I said the house of Judah is blessed.
Amen.
But how many want your address to be blessed?
Amen.
So this homework is for your home. All right? So homework. And so, guys, I want you to look at these examples of typology, these types, and allow God to speak to you. And I know He will. This is a fun way, an interesting way to maybe dig back into God's word. If you've been slack, perhaps today is a great way to develop a new thirst for God's word. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. Thank you for this unique teaching, this revelation. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for revelation. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for blessing the work of our hands. Thank you for blessing the work of our hands. Thank you for blessing the work of our hands. Not when we clock in to our 9 and 5, but thank you for blessing the work of our hands that will study your word more. We want to know your heart. We need to know your heart. We want to know your ways. Your ways are better than our ways. So we need to know your ways. We want to be better. We will only be better knowing you better. Forgive us. Forgive us for ignoring you and what you said. We are transparent this morning. We have not been the best disciple. We have not been the best student. But we repent this morning. We're going to make all A's in the kingdom. We are going to make the dean's list in the kingdom. And when we graduate, we are going to hear you say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Clap your hands.
Amen.
God is good.